الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين أسأل الله أن يرزقنا حسن النية I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions. قال المؤلف فصل ومن شروط الصلاة الطهارة عن النجاسة في البدن والثوب والمكان والمحمول له كقنينة يحملها في جيبه The author said among the conditions of prayer is to be clear of najas filth in one's body, clothes, place of prayer and what one carries in prayer such as a bottle carried in one's pocket. شرح ذلك أن من شروط الصلاة الطهارة عن النجاسة في البدن. The explanation among the conditions of the prayer is for one's body to be pure, not to be contaminated with نجاسة. حتى في داخل الفم والأنف والعين even the inside part of the mouth the inside part of the nose and inside the eye it has to be clear from najas filth وكذلك لابد أن يكون ثوبه طاهرا likewise one's clothes has to be clear from najasa يعني النجاسة غير المعفو عنها that is the najasa which is not overlooked which is not exempted كذلك لابد من أن لا يحمل نجاسة likewise One should not carry a najasa. فلو كان يحمل قنينة في جيبه فيها دم مثلا لم تصح صلاته. So if he carries in his pocket a bottle of blood, for example, or a bottle of wine, or a bottle of urine, then his prayer is not valid. It is invalid. ومثل ذلك لو كان يضع على كتفيه رداء متنجسا. Likewise, if one puts on his shoulders a cloth, a something, rida, which is contaminated with najasa. He cannot pray while he's putting it. His prayer wouldn't be valid while putting it, if he prays while putting it. كذلك يشترط أن يكون المكان الذي يلاقيه بدنه في الصلاة من المصلى طاهرا يعني المكان الذي تلاقيه قدماه وركبتاه ويداه وكفاه وجبهته من الأرض لا بد أن يكون طاهرا فإن وقف على نجاسة غير معفو عنها أو وضع جبهته في السجود على نجاسة غير معفو عنها أو ركبتيه على نجاسة غير معفو عنها بطلت صلاته. Likewise, the place where one prays has to be clear from the najas filth. We mean by the place that one, يعني, where the place where his head meets the ground, his feet, his knees, his hands, those areas need to be clear from najas filth. Which means if he stands on a najas filth which is not exempted, or if he touches it with his knees when he prostrates, or with his forehead or the like, then his prayer is invalidated. By this, his prayer is invalidated. أما النجاس المعفو عنه فلا يؤثر. Now, carrying a najasa which is exempted, touching a najasa which is overlooked, exempted, does not affect the validity of the prayer. مثلا مكان مملوء بزرق الطيور, مملوء لا يوجد جهة خالية عنه, إذا كانت رجله جافة, إذا كان مس هذا الزرق في أثناء الصلاة من غير بلل, من غير أن يتعمد, يعني من غير أن يقصد, هو يعني إذا كان لا يستطيع تجنب هذا الزرق فمسه في أثناء الصلاة من غير بلل, لا, هذا لا يبطل الصلاة لأنه هذا يعفى عنه, يعسب تجنبه. An example of the exempted najas filth is when the area is full with the droppings of the birds. It is full. One wants to pray and there is no place, no clear area. Then if his feet are not wet, and he stands to pray, so he notices that his feet touched this najas filth, this does not invalidate his prayer, because he cannot avoid that. It is very difficult, let's say, to avoid that. Or when he makes prostration, his knees touch that, or the like. This does not invalidate his prayer. قال المؤلف: فإن لاقاه نجس أو محموله بطلت صلاته إلا أن يلقيه حالا أو يكون معفوا عنه كدم جرحه. The author said, if a najas filth contacts one or what one carries, one's prayer is invalidated unless the najas filth is thrown away immediately, or it is an exempted najas filth, such as the blood of one's wound. شرح ذلك أن الشخص إذا كان يصلي فطرأ له نجاسة في أثناء الصلاة، ماذا يكون حكم صلاته؟ The explanation, this saying of the author, deals with the matter if one is praying and while he is praying, a najas filth comes in contact with him. What would be the judgment of his prayer? النجاسة إما أن تكون جافة وإما أن تكون رطبة. The najas filth is either dry or wet. The najas filth that gets in contact with him is either dry or wet. إن كانت جافة فألقاها حالا من غير حملها صلاته صحيحة. If it is dry and he throws it immediately without carrying it, like he shakes his shoulder, let's say, or something like that, without carrying it, he throws it immediately, then his prayer is still valid. أما إن كانت النجاسة رطبة فهنا حالان، إما أن تلامس النجاسة ما يحمله شيئا، إما أن تلامس النجاسة بدنه أو ثوبه أو ما يحمله. If the najas filth is wet, then this najas filth is going to touch either his skin or his body or his clothes or something that he is carrying. إن لامست بدنه بطلت صلاته. If this wet najas filth gets in contact with his body, then his prayer is invalidated. إن لامست شيئا لا يستطيع أن يلقيه فورا كقميصه أيضا بطلت صلاته. If this wet najas filth gets in contact with something that he cannot throw it away immediately, like his shirt, again his prayer is immediately invalidated. أما إن لامست شيئا يحمله فإن ألقاه حالا لا تبطل صلاته وإلا بطلت. Now, if it touches something that one carries, if he throws it immediately, his prayer is not invalidated. Otherwise, it is invalidated. If he does not throw it immediately, it is invalidated. If he throws it immediately, it is not invalidated. So if the najas filth is dry, then if he throws it immediately, his prayer is not invalidated. If it is wet, then either he can throw it away immediately or not. If he cannot throw it away immediately, that is throwing away what the najasa touched also immediately, then his prayer is invalidated. If he can, then it is not. Like if he was putting a rida on his shoulders and the najasa touches the rida, so he throws the rida immediately without carrying it, then his prayer is not invalidated. واضحة المسألة؟ Is it clear or is it not? No answer. لا هيك ولا هيك. Is it clear or not? No answer. Do you know why I'm asking? Because how it is written. المسألة كما هي مكتوبة في البغية قد لا يفهمها الشخص على الصواب. قد يفهمها خطأ. لذلك عم بسأل. I'm asking because how it is written in Al-Bughya, one might misunderstand the case. شو يا غادي؟ ما فهمت شيء، ما سمعت.
يعني إذا وقعت النجاسة على رداء مع أنه ما تنجس لأنها يشترط أن تكون جافة، مع ذلك يجب عليه أن يلقيه.
أن يلقي إذا ألقى النجاسة فورا لا تفسد صلاته إن كانت جافة.
بس ما أنت شيخي بالإنجليزي كمان what najas filth touches.
وإن كانت النجاسة غير جافة فوقعت على رداء فألقى رداء فورا ما كأنه ألقاها وهي جافة فورا لا تفسد صلاته. عدت. What case, Ali? You ask.
Okay. How is this the issue of the wet najasa and the dry najasa? In that they both have to be removed immediately. Why is there a distinction?
You ask. You go into more details. You go into more details in your question so I can notice where is, what's the area that you do not, you want to ask about it. Yeah.
With the dry najasa, if they contacted and you removed it immediately without touching it.
Okay, let's stick with the dry najasa. Okay. What's about the dry najasa? No, what's about the dry najasa? Okay, so what's that case?
That if the dry najasa contacts, for instance, the
clothes. Okay. If the dry najasa contacts your clothes, so you do like that immediately. You turn your, for example, and it falls down. So immediately, you get rid of it immediately. Your prayer is not invalidated. Okay. Leave out my previous understanding. Go ahead with the question. If the wet najasa, for example, I'm wearing this, and it touches here, a wet najasa. So how can I get rid immediately of it? I cannot. Because even if I do like this, it falls, but the area here is contaminated. I cannot get rid of this immediately. That's why the prayer is invalidated. But if I was putting a rida, and it touches the rida, even if it is wet, I can get rid of the rida immediately, and this is why the prayer is not invalidated. Just I can get rid of the dry najas filth immediately, and that's why the prayer is not invalidated. Okay? وفيكم. واضح يا أخوانا. Is it clear? Yeah, I think now it is more clear. شو إذا رماها فورا لا تبطل الصلاة. طيب. أهلك النبي.
أنت قلت إنه لو كان رطب ورماه حالا لا تبطل الصلاة.
عيد. لو كانت رطبة فلمست رداءه مع الرطوبة فألقى الرداء فورا لم تبطل صلاته.
كيف نجمع شيخي بين الاثنين بين لفظ الشرح البغية؟
شو مكتوب عندك؟
الشيخ بيقول هون أما النجس والرطب.
لا مش ما تقل لي شيخ بيقول اللي مكتوب بالبغية
الرطب فيضره ولو ألقاه في الحال.
مشان هيك قلت لك العبارة قد بعض ما يفهمها، مشان هيك تعمدت لأنه مهم بلا لأنه هلأ.
لكن شو معنات هذه اللي هون شيخي؟
مثل الثوب مثل هذا الذي لا يصطد ليس رداء. رداء يعني بيعرف شو رداء.
يعني إذا كان يستطيع
إذا كان يستطيع أن يلقي النجاسة فورا إن كانت رطبة أو جافة ليش بده يختل في الحكم؟
خلاص واضحة.
بارك الله فيك. لك شغلي نبيل، لو الواحد سافر مسافة طويلة بس تيتعلم هالمسألة على الصواب ما بتكون ضايعة. طيب قال المؤلف فإن لاقاه نجس هذه شرحناها كذلك يعفى عن النجاسة التي تلاقي بدنه أو ثوبه إن كانت معفوا عنها. Likewise if the najas filth that touches one's dress or body while praying is overlooked, then it does not invalidate his prayer. وذلك مثل دم جرحه. An example of that is the blood that comes out from one's wound. مثل هذا الدم يعفى عنه ولو كان كثيرا. Such blood is overlooked even if it is if the blood is a lot. The blood that runs comes out is a lot. يعني لو جرح الشخص في رأسه فسال دمه ولوث بدنه وثوبه حتى وصل إلى قدمه فإنه يعفى عنه. So if one is wounded in his head, the blood comes out and the blood contaminates his face, his neck, his chest, etc. Everything until getting to his foot, still it is overlooked because it is his wound, his blood. كذلك يعفى عن القليل من دم غيره إذا أصابه. Also if a little bit from others' blood reaches him then this is overlooked also. مثلا كان يذبح خروفا فجاء قليل من الدم على ثوبه يعفى عنه. For example someone was slaughtering a sheep, a little blood comes in touch to his clothes, he can pray wearing those clothes because this is overlooked. It's a little bit. Did you want to ask something? It's overlooked. You can wear them while you are. The wound. While he is praying or before he prays. In both cases it is overlooked. طيب. قال المؤلف ويجب إزالة نجس لم يعف عنه بإزالة العين أي جرمها من طعم ولون وريح بالماء المطهر. الحكمية هم مذكورة. The author said, using purifying water to remove the najas filth and its properties, that is the taste, color and odor, is the only way to clean an area contaminated with an unexempted najas filth. النجاسة شرح ذلك أن النجاسة لا تزال إلا بالماء من بين المائعات. The explanation: among all the fluids, only the water is the fluid that can clear the area from the najasa. The area contaminated with najasa, the only fluid that can clean it from an najasa is the water. فلو غسل الشخص المكان المتنجس بغير الماء فأزال الطعم واللون والريح لم يطهر المكان. If something contaminated with najasa, a person washes it with other than water until the najasa was removed, the entity was removed, the odor, the taste, and the color, all of them were removed, still that thing would not be clear from the najas filth. It remains judged as najas filthy, because only the water removes such najasa. وكيفية ذلك أن يصب الماء على النجاسة بحيث يزول العين والأثر, الطعم واللون والريح. And this is done by pouring the water on the najas, on the area contaminated, on the contaminated area, until the entity of najasa is removed, the traces of najasa are removed. So the taste of the najasa does not exist there, its color does not exist anymore, and its odor does not exist anymore. لما منقول زوال الأوصاف من طعم ولون وريح, يعني أنه لا يشترط أن يذوقها حتى يعرف, أن يذوق حتى يعرف أن الطعم زال. المراد أن يغلب على الظن ذلك. When we say it doesn't have the taste of najasa anymore, it does not mean that one has to taste it to check if the taste is still there or not. It means most likely he thinks that it does not have any taste there. That's enough. لكن لو غسل الثوب جيدا فعسر إزالة اللون فلا يؤثر. Now if one could not remove the color of the najasa, the trace of the color. Sometimes, you know, when, like the blood, when it is on your clothes, you try to remove it and it is difficult. The trace of the color remains there. This is overlooked. يعد الثوب طاهرا. The dress, the clothes is judged as a pure one. تصح الصلاة مع وجوده. The prayer is valid although it is there. قال والحكمية بجري الماء عليها والنجاسة الحكمية هي التي لا يدرك لها لون ولا طعم ولا ريح. The author said the najas filth which does not have any discernible characteristics is the najas filth. The najas filth which does not have any discernible characteristics is the najas filth, the color, taste or odor of which cannot be detected. The place contaminated with such a najas filth is purified by pouring water on it. شرح ذلك أن النجاسة إذا زال طعمها ولونها وريحها لكن من غير أن يطهر المحل، لا بغسل المحل بالماء، في هذه الحال عين النجاسة ما عادت موجودة، لكن حكم المحل أنه ما زال متنجسا. هذه النجاسة يقال لها نجاسة حكمية، يكفي لإزالتها جريان الماء مرة، لأنه بجريانه مرة ما بقي لا لون ولا أثر ولا طعم، وجرى الماء على المكان المتنجس فطهر. If the najas filth, the entity of najas filth is removed from the contaminated place. Likewise, the traces of color, taste and odor, but not with water. Not with water. So the area is still contaminated. To clean it, to purify it, it is enough to pour the water once over this contaminated area. And that makes it pure. Why? Because the water, which is the purifying fluid, ran on the place which is contaminated, and after running on it, the area was clean from any traces of najasa. So by that it becomes pure. Such najasa is called in Arabic hukmiya. So it is enough to wash it, to wash the contaminated place one time with water for that place to be pure. قال والكلبية بغسلها سبعا إحداهن ممزوجة بالتراب الطهور، إحداهن ممزوجة بالتراب الطهور، والمزيلة للعين وإن تعددت واحدة. The author said the najas filth of a dog or a pig is removed by washing the najas filthy area seven times, one of which is mixed with purifying soil. The washes which remove the physical presence of the najas filth are deemed one wash, even if they were numerous. النجاسة ثلاثة أنواع. There are three types. أربعة أنواع. There are four types of نجاسة. تكلمنا من بينها عن النجاسة العينية. Among them we talked about the physical نجاسة. وعن النجاسة الحكمية. The najas filth which is removed with other than water. It is removed with its traces. With other than water, like by drying. Then you need to wash it one time, as we said. The third type is the najas filth of a dog or a pig. النوع الثالث من أنواع النجاسات النجاسات أربع أنواع أربعة أنواع عينية ذكرناها حكمية ذكرناها الثالثة الكلبية وهي نجاسة الكلب والخنزير نجاسة الكلب والخنزير إذا لوثت موضعا لا يطهر هذا الموضع إلا بغسله سبع مرات. If a place is contaminated with the najas filth of a dog or a pig, then this place is not purified except by washing it seven times. يصب الشخص الماء على هذا الموضع. لو صب مئة مرة طالما عين النجاسة ما زال موجودا فهذه الغسلات كلها غير محسوبة حتى تزيل غسلة منها العين والأوصاف فهذه تعد ايش واحدة If a place is contaminated with the najas filth of a dog or a pig, then if you pour water 100 times on this place without removing the physical najasa, then all those washes, they are not counted among the seven which we mentioned. Why? Because they did not make any difference. The najasa is still there. The physical entity of the najasa is still there. Now, if after that you pour the water and the water removes the najasa, the entity of najasa, with its characteristics, then this is counted one wash. لا بد من غسلها بعد ذلك ست غسلات أخرى. After that, one has to wash it six other times. واحدة من هذه الغسلات السبع لا بد أن تكون مخلوطة بالتراب. لا بد أن يكون الماء فيها ممزوجا بالتراب. One among those seven washes, its water has to be mixed with soil. وذلك لحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه الكلب أن يغسله سبع مرات. This is so because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said طهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه الكلب أن يغسله سبع مرات, which means if anyone among you has a container containing a fluid and a dog puts his mouth in it, then to purify it, one needs to wash it seven times. الإمام الشافعي قال الفم في العادة في الحيوانات أطهر أجزائها فإذا كان هذا حكم الفم فباقي أجزاء الكلب بالأولى. الإمام الشافعي said the mouth usually in the animals is the most pure part of the animal. So if this is the judgment, if the dog puts his mouth in the fluid, then if the dog puts other parts, more so, the same judgment is applicable. قال والخنزير أسوأ حالا من الكلب فيكون مثله حكم نجاسته يعني كحكم نجاسته. He said also the pig is worse than the dog So if this was the judgment for the najasa of the dog, then the najasa of the pig has to have the same judgment. لذلك قال الشافعي بنجاسة كل بدن الكلب والخنزير. That's why Imam al-Shafi'i said that the whole body of the dog and the pig, the whole bodies are najas, filthy. وأنه يجب غسل نجاسة أي منهما سبع مرات إحداهن بالتراب. And to remove the najas, filth, to clean the area contaminated by the najas, filth of any of those two animals, the area has to be washed 7 times with one of those washes mixed with soil. معنى مخلوطة بالتراب أي تغير لون الماء الذي يجري على النجاسة بهذا التراب. Mixed with soil means that the water the water of that wash is changed by the soil. While the water runs on that area, it has to be changed by the soil. وبعض الأئمة الآخرين كالإمام مالك قالوا لا يؤخذ من هذا الحديث نجاسة الكلب لأدلة قامت عندهم على ذلك، إنما يؤخذ منه أنه يسن غسل الموضع 7 مرات إحداهن غسل الموضع 7 مرات. Other than Al-Shafi'i, some Imams other than Al-Shafi'i said you do not deduce some other Imams like Malik did not deduce from that hadith that the dog while is alive is najas, filthy. They said it is sunnah to wash the contaminated thing 7 times by water, but it is not an obligation. This hadith does not imply that the dog is najas, filthy. They relied on things to say that. It wasn't just a mere opinion, just hecky, to say whatever comes to their minds. No. Malik relied on religious texts to say what he said. I'm mentioning that so يعني, you know it. It's not a case of consensus that the dog is not just filthy while it's alive, nor the pig. Not the pig while it's alive. Yeah. Malik says it's not najas, filthy. لكن يحرم تربية الكلب إلا إذا كان كلب حراسة أو صيد أو نحو ذلك. But it is haram, it is prohibited to raise a dog, except if the dog is for hunting or guarding, how do you say? For protection. Yes. I can't hear what you said. If someone is playing and a dog comes and touches you while you were wet or it was wet, you both were dry. If you both were dry, then it does not affect your prayer, because it does not contaminate you without wetness. If the dog licks your clothes, then this affects. Okay. طيب. وكنا ذكرنا أن إزالة النجاسة تكون بواسطة صب الماء. هذا إذا كان الماء قليلا. We mentioned that removing the najas filth by using the water is by pouring the water on the contaminated area. This is if the water was a little amount of water, a little volume of water, less than 2 qullas. أما إن كان الماء كثيرا فوضعت الثوب المتنجس في الماء ما صببت الماء عليه إنما وضعت الثوب مثلا الشيء المتنجس في الماء فزالت النجاسة والأوصاف وكان الماء كثيرا من غير أن يتغير الماء يكون طهورا هذا الشيء من غير صب عليه إذا وضعت الثوب المتنجس في الماء الكثير فزالت عين النجاسة وأوصافها عن الثوب يكون من غير أن يتغير الماء يكون طهور هذا الثوب. If you have a big volume of water, 2 qullas or more, and you put the contaminated thing in it, and then this thing gets clean, the najas filth is removed, no traces are there, no odor, no taste, no color of the najasa, and the water is not changed by the najasa, then this thing becomes pure without the need of pouring the water on that thing. So you need to pour the water if the water is a small volume. If the water is a big volume, if the water has a big volume, if it's a big volume of water, then you have the choice. Either you put the contaminated thing within the water until it gets clean with the condition that the najas filth does not change the water, or you pour from it on that contaminated thing. You have the choice. Like if you take your clothes contaminated with blood, with urine, with wine to the river or to the lake, you put that clothes in the lake, you take it out, you put it, you take it out until you notice that it is clean and the water of the lake is not changed by this najasa. Then this clothes is pure, although you didn't pour the water on it, because this is a big amount of water, a lot of water. طيب بقي في بقية نوع من النجاسة ما ذكرناه ما هيك. There is still one type of نجاسة which we did not mention, وهو بول الصبي الذي بعد لم يأكل الطعام على وجه التغذي, which is the urine of the little boy, not girl, boy, who is still taking who is still nourished by the milk only. بول هذا الصبي يكفي إذا أصاب المكان يكفي لتطهيره تعميم المكان بالماء ولو لم يجري الماء. If the urine of such a boy contaminates a place, to purify it, it is enough to let the water cover all that contaminated area, even if the water does not run. So there is no need for the water to run. If the water covers the area, and this removes this yani, and by this you wouldn't smell, taste, or see the color of the najasa, then this area would be purified. So you don't need, the water does not need to run. If it is a little boy, less than 2 years old, that is still nourished by milk, no, it does not have to be best fed from the mother, no. Nourished by the milk, only by the milk. No, I did not say cow milk. Nourished by the milk. I didn't say that. Well, that's what I remember, Hajj. I will recheck it. But he doesn't need to be breastfed. طيب, do you have any questions about what was said? حد عنده سؤال عن اللي قلنا؟ نعم. I'll get to you. هذه مسألتين. إذا كان الزائد المتجاوز, إذا كان قليلا يعفى عنه, إذا كان كثيرا لا يعفى عنه.
عفوا ما سمعت.
إذا كان الدم المتجاوز قليلا يعفى عنه, إن كان كثيرا لا يعفى عنه. وفيك يا علي.
Or the goat,
I need to recheck, as I remember also from the cow and the goat, but let me recheck it. تفضل نبيل. أثر اللون.
قلت يعد طاهرا.
إيه ها, يحكم عليه بأنه طاهر, حكمه حكم الطاهر.
ما بنقول يعني متنجس ولكن النجاسة معفو عنها.
حكمه حكم الطاهر. لأنه فعل كل ما يقدر عليه, شو بيعمل؟
أن يكون عمره أقل من سنتين.
إيه, اشترط أن يكون, إذا كان أكثر من سنتين لا, إذا كان أكثر من سنتين لو كان بعد على الحليب الحكم مختلف كالكبير. Go ahead, Adnan.
Sheikh Samir, when you were talking about having a blood from your own, it was, you know, falling, it's okay. But if you wipe the blood with a napkin and you put the napkin in your pocket, what is the judgment?
Well, the blood is coming from where?
From yourself.
From
the person himself.
I know. From which part?
From your nose or something, you're bleeding from your finger.
There is difference.
Okay.
From which part? Choose a part.
The nose amra.
Then it is not overlooked. Okay. Even if it's a little. Choose another part.
From your head?
From the head. Then it is overlooked if it's a little amount.
Barakallah.
Little, what is considered by the norm little?
If you get a fly that lands on your clothes, that you know it might have been sitting on a najas filthy
no,
area.
No, make it closer. You hold it, Adnan, so you can make it okay. No, closer.
Okay, if a fly has landed on your clothes while you are praying, that you might think that it might have been sitting on a najas filthy area, what would you do in
it
that
does
situation?
It does not affect.
Okay, and also what if there was an insect on the floor and you're about to go into prostration, that you might think that if you was to go down, you might kill it, and it might leave a stain on your clothes, like the blood of that insect. What would you do in that situation?
And that insect is...
get squashed, say, on your knees or somewhere.
Of course, because one did not notice it, isn't it? But I remember that it affects the prayer. But let me review it, and I'll give you the answer, inshallah, later. Because he did that with his own action. And it is not something which is difficult to avoid, usually. Let me review it. It's not like when the person is asleep or the like. Let me review it, but I'll give you later the answer. هو نجس بس إنه لا تنتقل النجاسة صحيح بمجرد اللمس لا يؤثر. Yes, Mujahid.
If a person, he put a rug down over a najasa, the najasa didn't seep through the rug, but the najasa is under the rug, so he wants to...
Can you please make...
Say it louder. If the person was wanted to pray, and he put a rug down, or he had a rug in his place, and he knew underneath it's najasa.
So there is a najasa, and he covers it with a rug?
With a rug.
Okay.
So, can he pray on that as it is on the rug? On
top? Yes, he can.
He can. Okay. I wasn't sure if you mentioned this case.
He can. This does not affect the validity of his prayer.
And
Sheikh Samir, you said that if there's a najis and you remove it by washing, that as long as the color remains, we consider it tahir. Of course, if the physical entity was removed,
if you do your best to remove the color and you cannot, you wash it, it does not go
correct
away, then yes, you judge it as a tahir.
That's if the color remains. Why is the judgment different if, for example, the taste remained? Or odor?
I did not say the judgment is different if the taste or the odor remain. Did I?
Not this Torah.
No, not even... No, it's not like that. If the taste remains, it is different. Because they say if the taste remains, it means that the entity is still there. You wouldn't feel the taste if the entity is not there. So that's why it is different.
Barakallahu feek.
Okay. Fine. Yes, sister, go ahead. The... the nose, the mouth, and the ear, the blood that comes out from those three areas is not overlooked, even if it is a little amount of blood. Okay? That's why it differs. They have a specific judgment. وفيكم
شيخ سمير
أهلا بحاج
في حال الصلاة إذا كانت النجاسة ظاهرة على الأرض منا مغطاية وقابلها في صدره
ما بيأثر ما بيأثر
ما بيأثر بي...
ما بيأثر إن قابلها مجرد المقابلة ما بيأثر إلا إن لامسها
طيب بالنسبة لمسألة الكلب اللي لمس الشخص في حال الصلاة كيف منطبق القاعدة في حال ملاقات
نفس الشيء
نجس
لاقاه نجس
ايه
إن كان لاقى شيئا يحمله فألقاه فورا لا تفسد وإلا فسدت
فأصبح يعني بالجواب كأنه فهمنا أنه لا يؤثر إذا كأنه بالجواب
أصدق إذا كان جافا
إذا كان جافا نعم
إيه هو ما قال أعد عليه حاج يعني معناها لمسه هو ذهب هذا اللي أنا فهمته من السؤال أما مجرد اللمس أما لو هذا كشيء آخر
يعني من ردها لنفس القاعدة
نفس القاعدة مثل أي نجاسة أخرى صحيح تفضل
شيخ سمير إذا في شخص على ثيابه نجاسة وبدل ما يطبق الحكم إنه لا يطهرها إنه ينظفها بماء طاهرة مطهرة راح غسل بماء فيها صابون مثلا والصابون له ريحة شو بده يعمل لا يطهر الثوب من أول جديد بده يضلوا عم بينظفوا لتروح منه ريحة الصابون مثلا ولا بس بيغسلوا مرة واحدة ولا شو بيعمل
بالأول غسلوا بالصابون
ماء فيها صابون مثلا
موضع النجاسة
أيوه.
فصار كل هالميات مع هالصابونات كلهم منجسين
صح
إيه بعدين يغسل إيه حتى تذهب الرائحة صحيح
بارك الله فيك
وفيك if one washes a cloth which is contaminated with نجاسة with soap first the soap becomes contaminated نجس filthy itself So he needs to remove that also with water. If you wash, if you have a small container, you put water in it with soap, and you bring your, for example, your shirt which is contaminated with najasa, and you put it there, and you wash it. Then all your shirt becomes najas filthy with all the water and the soap which is in the container and with the container itself from inside all what is contaminated from the container becomes najas filthy so you need to take the shirt out wash it with water until you remove As we said, the taste, the odor, and the color. And you need to also, the container itself, wash it with water to become pure.
One more question.
Go ahead.
If you are under running water,
if you are
taking ghusl and najis filth is underneath you, is your ghusl valid?
Yes, this does not invalidate the ghusl. Okay. It is still valid. طيب. هيدي يعني الخنثى اوكي اوكي If you want, please don't send more questions. Let's get over with those ones and we'll be good. If a woman is with her first day of menses and the blood stops, so she prays, and someone follows her in the prayer, okay. Then the next day the woman sees blood again. Does the follower have to pray again? No, he does not. She does not, because the follower has to be a female. If one was praying and a najas filth comes in contact with him and the person did not notice that, okay, did not notice that this was a najas filth that came in contact with him, and after a while he smells it and throws it immediately. If it is a najas filth, then his prayer is invalidated. Even if after finishing, if a najas filth comes in contact with him and after finishing the prayer, he notices that this najas filth was there before starting his prayer, and this najas filth is not overlooked, then his prayer is not valid. He needs to repeat it. Because since the beginning there was something that prevents the validity of his prayer there. إذا كان الثوب متنجسا ووضع في الغسالة مع بقية الثياب هل يكفي غسل الغسالة لطهارة الثياب؟ حسب. إذا كان الماء يجري ماء طاهرا غير مختلط بغيره يجري على الثوب فيزيل النجاسة يكفي وإلا فلا على حسب الحال. أنا قلت إذا كان غير مختلط بغيره, إذا في مخلوط بالصابون لا يكفي, في غسل يمكن تكون بلا مي بالأخير بتكون بلا صابون, ما بعرف إني أدرى. The vomit of the child who only drinks milk does not have, I did not say the child in general, I said the boy. So the vomit of the child who only drinks milk is not judged as the urine of the little boy who only drinks milk. No. If the little boy drinks something other than milk, if it is as a nutrition to nourish him, then his urine would have the same judgment as the older one. If it is to nourish him, if his parents give him like a small thing to taste, not as a, to nourish him, to taste, it does not affect the situation. It does not change the judgment. If a person had a garment that had in it feathers from an edible animal, but he does not know if the animal was slaughtered, what is the judgment of this person if he prayed in it? If he knows that he has the feather of an edible animal, It depends, are those feathers taken from the animal while it is alive or not? Because he says this is an edible animal. If they are taken from the animal while it is alive, then they are pure, because it is edible. If they are taken from the animal after his death, it depends how the animal died. Did the animal die by slaughtering it Islamically or not? It depends on that. Is blood of Najasa overlooked? I did not understand this question. I do not understand it. One's blood is an overlooked najas filth. One's blood, even if it is a lot. This is the judgment. The other's blood is not an overlooked najasa, except if it is a little amount. If after someone finished praying, he sees he has najasa, he does not know if it just got on him or it was there before he started, then in this case his prayer is valid, because he is not sure that this najasa was there during his prayer, because he doubts, is it there? What about the clothes? That? The clothes that has hairs from a dog cannot be, yani, you cannot pray while wearing such clothes. You need to clean them before you pray. مكتوب في مسألة أن يلقي النجاسة الجافة من غير حملها. إيه يعني إذا كان نجاسة جافة وقعت هنا، إذا حملها بيده وألقاها فسدت صلاته، أو لو حملها بخرقة وألقاها فسدت صلاته، أو لو أزاحها بكمه فسدت صلاته. If for example a dry najasa comes in contact with the one who's praying, he's praying, he's doing like this, and the najasa comes here. So if he picks it like this and throws it away, his prayer is invalidated. If he picks it with a barrier and throws it away, his prayer is invalidated. If he throws it away with his hand like this, his prayer is invalidated. If he throws it away with his sleeve like this, his prayer is invalidated. So he shakes his hand or the like, throw it away. He doesn't carry it or something similar to that. If during prayer the forehead touches najasa, hukmiya, or dry najasa, what is the judgment? The prayer is invalidated. If someone puts his head when prostrating on a najasa, this invalidates his prayer. Except in the case which was explained previously, when it is not easy to avoid it, etc. Is the blood that comes from the nose bleed is exempted in the prayer? No, it is not exempted. Is it correct that one can keep a dog? It is not permissible to raise a dog. It is not permissible to raise a dog, except to for hunting or to protect someone's properties or sheep or the like. That's it. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that the one who raises a dog, he loses from his reward every day a big amount, except for the purposes, the aforementioned purposes. If the dog's saliva come in contact with the skin, if the dog's saliva comes in contact with one's skin, one washes the area 7 times, and one of the washes has to be mixed with, the water has to be mixed with soil. Please give examples of major ritual impurity. Major ritual impurities means a state that has reasons for one to be in that state. Among those reasons is menstruating, postpartum bleeding, sexual intercourse, emitting almani. Those are reasons. If any of them occurs, then the person would be in the state of major ritual impurity. If anything that invalidates the wudu occurs with the person, then the person would be in the state of minor ritual impurity. إذا كلب لحس داخل عين الشخص. هل عليه أن يغسلها بالتراب؟ للصلاة عليه أن يغسلها بالتراب 7 مرات، إحداهن بالتراب، يخلط بالماء تراب، بالضر؟ ما ظني بالضر. The question was, if a dog licks the inside part of the eye, does the person have to wash it 7 times, one of them with water mixed with soil? The answer is yes, to pray. Yeah, one moment until I finish the question. If someone wants to wash a place which was contaminated with najas filth, one wants to clean it first, fast. Because it is a place when people where people walk a lot. طيب. Can one use a spray that would change the smell in a way that one does not see the color? One can smell the odor of that spray. One assumes that there is not taste. Can one just pour water to purify that place? With the najasa of the dog, even if it dries, so you don't see it, you don't smell it, and it doesn't have any taste anymore, still, to clean the place contaminated with it, you need to wash it 7 times, one of them by mixing the soil with the water. So with the najasa of the dog, in all the cases, the same way you do to clean the area. So regardless of it, if it dries or not. Now, if someone is cleaning the contaminated area from an najasa, so he pours, he sprays there, or he sprays in the air something that changes the odor, so he does not smell anymore the odor of the najasa, he needs to estimate, did the odor go or is it still there? because he covered it with something else, it does not mean that it's not there anymore. So he needs to estimate to clean the area. He makes it difficult, maybe. He's making it more... It is easy not to use that. The baby who vomits, should one rinse his mouth to purify it? Why? He's not praying. The baby is not praying. Except if you don't want his saliva to be contaminated and then touch you, then yes, you rinse his mouth without causing him to die. You make him drink or the like, drink some water or the like, that would be enough. Because the water gets in and washes the inner part of the mouth and keeps going to his stomach, that purifies the mouth. But it is not necessary. If this vomit goes on the clothes or out of the mouth, is the place considered contaminated with najas filth? Yes, it is. But what is difficult to avoid, like if a woman does not have except one dress and she is breastfeeding her boy or her girl, her little child, and the child vomits on her, on her dress. And the child's mouth is contaminated with najasa. So he touches, let's say, her clothes, and she cannot wash the clothes. Yani, if it is a case where it is difficult to avoid being in contact with the najasa, then it is overlooked. Then it is overlooked. With the issue of the mother breastfeeding and the like, Al-Imam Malik said that this najasa that comes out from the baby is overlooked for her. So that makes it easier. If a person is praying and then some najasa comes in contact with him, it was his clothing. If he moves? No. Moves it off. If he moves it off, is his prayer invalidated? If it is dry and he moves it off without carrying it or the like immediately, then his prayer is not invalidated. If the najasa is wet and it gets in contact with one's shirt or the like, something that he cannot get rid immediately of it, then his prayer is invalidated also. Al-Khunsa, the hermaphrodite, goes in, how do I say it? It means this is a person which we do not know yet. It doesn't appear yet. Is he really a male or a female? He has the organs, apparently, the organs of both sexes. So is he really a male or a female? Until now it's not clear. So such a person um, شو يأخذ بالاحتياط؟ He acts out of precaution, which means, for example, such a person does not show his or her hair, his hair to other, to the hair of the head, to people, to males, because such a person might be a female. When such a person prays, this person prays while covering the head, while covering like a female, because such a person might be really a female and not a male. So if he does it this way, for sure his prayer is going to be valid. So in the wudu, if such a person has a beard, he takes care that the water reaches all the parts of his beards, and so on. Such a person acts, I don't know how to say it in English, in a precautionary way. I don't know. But you understood what I want to say, I assume. طيب بارك الله فيكم. نعم. Yeah, one more question. Go ahead.
Say the person is taking care of a parent that's a non-Muslim, and the parent actually has dogs and other sorts of pets. Is that person sinful for caring for that particular dog, or, you know, in that home or outside, wherever it may be? Do they lose reward for that as well?
No, the person takes care of the parent, but not of the dog.
But what if it's in mother's or father's request? Can you take the dog for a walk? Can you change the dog? I mean, as far as the litter, whatever the situation may be, feed the pet.
Don't do it. Except, as I said, if the dog was for protection or the like, if it's not raised like just as a pet, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. Even if they ask for that. Even if they ask. If the father asks someone to leave out praying, if the father asks his son or his daughter to leave out praying, would the child obey? No. So this is the same. This goes the same way. Barakallahu feekum. Khalluna nuhallil. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيكم.